Hello, this is Pastor Elijah Wells of the Wells of Living Water Ministry. Welcome to our podcast, which is a place to satisfy your thirst for the living word of God. Listen in and be blessed.
Some of the very foundational truths I think that we need to know as believers. And sometimes we hear different terms and different words in the Bible, and we've heard them, but we're not quite familiar with what they are, what they mean, what they're all about. And so we're going to go ahead and I'm going to ask that you would get your Bibles. The subject on last week, I talked about atonement and what that was, propitiation, and what that is. And we all know about that now, what Jesus Christ did for us when he paid the penalties for our sins. So we're going to transition into this area of sins this morning and talk about what that is and what that means and why there's such a big deal in the Bible when it comes to sin, and how God wants us to grapple with this thing called sin. Amen. Because sin has consequences. Some of this you don't hear it being taught in some areas. And God said, get back to the basics and teach the foundational truths of my word. And so I'm going to deal in depth about this thing called sin. But there's always good news. And God has provided a way for us to be delivered from our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. So that's the good news. But what exactly is sin? You know, we hear in Sunday school, well, you know, what's the definition of sin? Sin is missing the mark. What does that mean, missing the mark? Because to the average person that's not familiar with the Bible, they don't know what that means, to miss the mark. Okay, so let's talk about that and deal with specifically the idea of sin. Okay. And so what exactly is sin? Well, first of all, 1 John 3:4, the Bible tells us that sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. Somebody say lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. We can begin with this also. Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act. That means in action. That means in what we do. If we fail to do what God asks us to do in our actions, that's what we do. And so we hear this different term, like sin of commission and sin of omission. Amen. And I'm going to talk about those. But when you talk about sins of commission, I say commission in the aspect of committing sin through some act or behavior. And that's what most people think about when you think about sin. It's an action. It's something that people does that's against the moral law of God. But it's more than that. It also deals with the attitude and behaviors, which I'm getting ready to talk about in a minute, because most time people don't deal with that aspect of the heart. But we have to understand that it's more than just action. But when a person does not conform to God's moral act by their actions, that's sin or attitude. That's one that's very important. But most people think about, oh, well, the purpose sinned against God. They did an action. But sin is more than just an action through not conforming to God's moral law, but also in attitude. Attitude goes to the heart, because, you know, a person's attitude can be sinful. Hateful. That's sinful. That's an attitude. Right? Malice. Discord. These are attitudes. Okay, so a person can sin not only in their action, but they can sin in their attitude. And this is something some people never think about or never ponder or don't realize. You can sin against God by having the wrong attitude. Pride. But that goes to the heart. That goes to an attitude. A person could be walking in pride and it's sinful because their attitude is wrong. Okay, everybody with me? So it is failure, any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act or in attitude or in behavior. Our behavior is an indication of what's going on in our mind, and it's also an indication of what's going on in our heart, demonstrated by what we do in our behavior. Our behavior says a lot about us. Okay? And then sin is any failure to conform to the moral laws of God in the area of his nature. Okay, the Bible says when we were born into the world, we were born in sin. That means we have a sinful nature. And that's why some people say, what's the big deal? The big deal is that we need to be born again and receive a whole new nature. Because when we're born into this world, we're born with a sinful nature. But if we fail to conform to God's moral law when it comes about the nature that we have. We got to have the nature that God gives us when we become born again. All right? Because if we don't allow God to replace that sinful nature with the nature of God, then we have a not only an inclination to sin, but we'll be have a disposition to sin. And that's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world. So sin includes not only acts such as stealing and lying and cheating and committing murder, right? But it also includes the state of a person's heart, demonstrated by attitudes that are contrary to the attitudes that God requires and expects of every person. I'm going to read that again. So sin includes not only acts of stealing, lying, or committing murder, but it also includes the inner state of a person's heart. The inner state of a person's heart, demonstrated by attitudes that are contrary to the attitudes that God requires and expects of every person. That's why we can't take sin lightly. Okay? All right? Because God hates sin. In the Ten Commandments, it not only enlists wrong actions, but also wrong attitudes, such as you shall not covet your neighbor's donkey or ox or husband or wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's Exodus 20 and 17. The word I want you to take a look at there is that word covet. Covet means to desire or want something that somebody else has. Right? That's covetousness. That's sin. That goes to an attitude. Okay? And sometimes we can have an attitude, amen, that is not right before the eyesight of God. So just as a desire or thought could cause one to sin. Right? Let me give you an example. In Matthew's, write this down, 5 and 27 through 29. Matthew's, the fifth chapter, verses 27 through 29. Let's read that. It says, you have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not what? That's a commandment. Don't commit adultery. Right? Now, that is a sin of an act, right? Committing adultery. But verse 28, Jesus Christ is getting ready to shed some light on something. He's getting ready to shed light of the inner state of a person's heart. Because he says in verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever look on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is better, it is more profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So we first of all understand something, that this interpretation here is not to be literal. I mean, God does not want you to literally pluck out your eye. But he's given us, painting a picture of the idea that we have to guard our hearts. Amen. Because a lot of times people think that, you know, people don't know what I'm thinking. They can see what I'm doing, but they don't know what I'm thinking. So I'm in safe ground. No, you're not in safe ground. Bless God. Because God reads the heart. God reads the attitudes. God reads our behaviors as well. So you may not commit the act, but if your heart is inclined towards that act, you still can commit sin. Amen. Because it goes to the state of the heart. So we know that it's not literally mean pluck out your eye, but the idea is deal with whatever area of sin it is so that you don't commit sin against God. Right? So if the eye is the offender, deal with the eye. Amen? Because it says it's better that one of thy members should perish than that the whole body perish in hell. Okay? So, one very important note is that God not only examines our actions and behaviors, but he also examines our heart. Quickly, write down Psalms 139, 1 through 4. And it says this, O Lord, thou hast searched me. And that idea of searching there is searching the heart. He says, and have known me. So God knows us. Why? Because he searches our heart. Right? So because he searches our heart, he knows exactly what's going on and transpiring in the inner parts of our heart. Because other people don't know what's going on in our heart. Other people can't read our mind. But God knows everything about us. Because the psalmist says, you searched our heart and you know every part of us. Verse 2, it says, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought. Somebody say thought. Thought. So now we have another idea that God also knows our thoughts. Not just our behaviors, but he knows our thoughts. Somebody say he knows my thoughts. He knows my thoughts. Because it says he understands my thoughts are far off. That means, amen, even before you think it, God already knows it. Bless God. That's why we can't take sin lightly, because God takes sin real serious. And so God reads the heart. Man looks at the action, but God reads the heart. Verse 3. Thou encompass my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. God is fully, sometimes we are not fully acquainted with ourselves. In other words, you may not know what you would do, but God knows the capacities or propensities of anything that we have the capacity to do. He knows our heart. Sometimes we don't know ourselves, but God knows, because it says, and thou art acquainted with all my ways. Right? Verse 4. For there is not even a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You can whisper something or say something loudly or even think it. God already heard it. He hears it before you say it. He heard it before you thought it. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this, for the Lord searcheth all the hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations. Now we have, see, another word here is imaginations, right? Not just thoughts, and now imaginations. So God searches all our hearts, and he knows all the imagine, whatever we can even imagine, God knows about, of the thoughts. Psalms 139:23-24 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. There it is again. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. So we, if you have to, ask for God's help. Amen. So we can get our behavior, our actions, our thought process, our imaginations, all these things in line with God. All right? That's heavy, isn't it? Proverbs 29:11 says this, the thought of foolishness is sin. The what? Thought. Didn't say action, did it? So I'm like, well, Pastor, you got that a little wrong there. There it is right there. The thought of foolishness is sin. So if we think foolish thoughts, bless God, the Bible says sin. Amen? It's sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. All right? So we see the greatest attitude of the heart is love. And that's what God wants us to do, is to operate in love. Okay, so when we go to the very essence of who we are, we must take a look at our internal or inner nature. Okay, before we were redeemed by Christ, we had a nature towards sin. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. The Bible said we had a nature towards sin. Okay, and that nature was disobedient and rebellious towards God. So we needed a change in our sinful nature into a whole new nature, and that is being born of God. Okay? So what happens? When we come to the Lord, we ask the Lord to save us, amen, we receive a whole new nature. That's reading out the Bible says, old things have passed away, all things have become new. Amen? Okay? So we needed a change. Ephesians 2:3-5, let's read that. Ephesians 2:3-5 says this, among whom also we all had is past tense, right? had our conversation. That idea there, conversation, is not necessarily what we're talking, but it's a lifestyle. Okay, our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, in the what? So before we became born again, and that's the reason why many people, we got to understand something. Some of the actions that we see people doing and saying and acting is purely out of the flesh. Okay? Some of the things we see on TV and on MTV and on the TV, amen, and on videos and things like that, that's of the flesh. Amen? It says, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And here we go. And we're by nature. Remember I'm talking about we have to have a change in nature? Before we became born again, we had a nature of the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we were disobedient to God. We were children of wrath. In other words, before we became born again, praise God, we were going to receive the penalties of God's wrath because of sin. Amen. So it says here in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, for when we were yet dead in sins, we were what? Dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. It says, by grace are you saved. All right. So the Bible says that God still loved us. And what did he do? Loved us enough to send his son, Jesus Christ. Right? Because the Bible said we were dead in sins and have quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. Amen. It says, and so death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So there's no exclusion. We all were counted guilty because of Adam's sin. Okay, one man, Adam, his disobedience to sin caused sin to be passed on to all of us. So when we were born into this world, we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And that's the reason why we have need of a Savior. Also, we must realize that sin came as a result of man questioning the veracity of God's word. When God said, you shall not eat, for in the day that you shall do it, you shall die. Satan caused Adam and Eve to question what God said when he said, you shall not surely die. He caused them to question God's motives. Satan wanted to have man think that somehow God was withholding something from them. Is that right? Genesis 3 and 5 says, for God know the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Satan also, Adam and Eve, questioned what is right when God told them what is right. And don't we see that happen today? God told us in his word what's right and what's wrong. But man wants to go by his own decision of what he believes right should be. And you know where that got man as a result, right? So what was morally right was not to eat of the fruit of the tree. Eve trusted her own evaluation as to what was right and wrong instead of God. And we know where that got them. So these things you should know about sin. At first, what I stated, that we inherited sin because of Adam. So that means legally we inherited the guilt of sin because of Adam. Mankind was in him. So that's the reason why we have need of a Savior and to be born again. Acknowledge our sins so that we can be legally declared not guilty through God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Not necessarily because in some cases we committed an act as a baby, but because we inherited a sinful nature, which is why we must teach children right from wrong. You got to teach children right from wrong. Why? Because we all have an inclination towards sin. Everybody know what inclination towards sin means, right? That means that given opportunity or the situation, whatever, we can sin. Okay? In Psalm 51 and 5, it says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Secondly, we inherited the nature of sin, or the sinful nature, which is what I talked about before, and that's the reason why we have to have a change, a whole new nature. Amen. Received through God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? This nature amen, is what changes when we become born again. We receive a whole new nature. So, my brothers and sisters, our self-evaluation before we were born again was incorrect according to the Bible. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in the flesh. And that's the reason why we have to put the sinful flesh in check. And that's the reason why historically in the church, amen, the flesh was considered to be evil. Anything related to the flesh, desires and things like that, was considered to be evil. This is because historically we understand that, according to Romans 7 and 18. And then Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay? That's Jeremiah 17 and 9. This doesn't mean we cannot do good. In fact, many can live a life doing good deeds, but spiritually, God requires more of us, right? He wants us to be born again through his dear son, Jesus Christ. Remember, I said the only thing that satisfied the penalties of sin was the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross. Okay? So if we solely depend on the flesh, we cannot please God because the flesh wars against God. So all that I've just discussed in regards to sin, the fall of man, there's a reason why God had a redemptive plan. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from sin. Amen. And so that's the good news. God provided a way. So this all may seem if man is doomed for destruction, but God provided a way through his dear son, Jesus Christ, for a whole new change, which is where voluntary acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And if we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord, it cleanses us from all unrighteousness and takes away our sins. All right? John, when he seen Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And that's the reason why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need to confess with our mouth. That's the big deal. The big deal is what? Sin causes consequences. It harms us. It causes pain and destruction in our life. And not only does it affect us, but it affects people around us, our families and friends. Okay? And that's why we have to deal with sin, acknowledge sin, confess it with our mouth, and then believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And based on that, by faith, we receive salvation. Okay? It's just that simple. So I wanted to explain that because there's a lot of things about sin that people don't understand. People take sin lightly, but we can't take it lightly because it has to do with our eternal salvation and our destiny. And so we have to deal with this thing called sin. All right? God bless you. Amen. That is a message of the hour. And we're going to be looking at some other things, amen, as it relates to the Bible and the Word of God when it comes to getting back to the basics of the basic foundational truths that's found in the Word of God. Amen.
Well, I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Please send any letters to Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228. That's 42 and an 8. Sylmar, California, 91342. Again, that's Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228. Sylmar, California, 91342. While you're at it, please include a love gift to help support this ongoing ministry, to touch the lives of those seeking to know the Lord. You also can go to our website at valleyberean.org. That's valleyberean.org. Thank you for your support.